We'll be on the topic of Yerushas Goy, Yerushas Ben, and Yerushas Rabbanus Sraros. The pasuk in this week's parasha, towards the end, when Yaakov and his wives are fleeing Lavan, Rachel and Leah claim to, they say to Yaakov, Aton Rachel and Leah, Aton Marna Lo, they say to Yaakov, Ha'ud lanu chelek v'nachal v'beis avinu, do we have any portion left in the house of our father? Halo nachrios nechshav lo. We're considered strangers to our fathers. To our father. Kimecharnu v'yochal gam ochel eskaspenu. He also ate, he wiped up all the money we had. So Rachel and Leah are claiming to Yaakov, there's no reason for us to stay here with Lavan. We have no nachla, we have no chelek, we have no portion in the nechasim. They entirely cut us off. Rashi points out that normally the daughters get an adunya, they get a dowry of some sort to marry off, to marry them off to a husband. But here, Lavan treated them as strangers and they sold them for schar pula. Yaakov worked the land and his reward was to marry the two sisters. So the Or HaChaim points out here that it seems from this pasuk that Benos Akum, daughters of a non-Jew, would get Yerusha. He says, Hagoyim Efshasha Banos Yarsha. It seems from this that they're claiming, listen, we have no chelek in Nachla because Lavan cut us off, but if Lavan, our father, didn't cut us off, we would have a chelek, we would have a Nachla. And the question is it really true? Is it really true that a Nachri has Yerusha, that Banos have Yerusha? So what's a little background about Yerusha? How do we know the concept of Yerusha in the Torah? So that's in Parshas Pinchas by Benos Tzlafchot. Benos Tzlafchot go to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, listen, our father died, he has no sons, it's unfair that we are not getting any Yerusha. Who's going to get the Yerusha? So Karish Baruch Hu responds to Moshe, tell the children, tell Benos Tzlafchot. By Yomar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Kain Benos Tzlafchot Dovros. They speak correctly. Titein lahem achuza nachla, you should give them a portion, besoch achi avihem, amongst the brothers of the father, their uncles in other words, fa'avartes nachla avihem lahen, you should give the nachla to Benos Tzlafchot were correct in their claim. Now here's the command to all of Klai Yisrael in general, the general concept of nachla. Vel b'nei Yisrael tedaber lemor, tell b'nei Yisrael, ish ki yamus, when a person dies, uven ein lo, he has no son, fa'avartem es nachla sol divito. You should pass on the nachla to his daughter. So I'm going to point out a question here that the Mefarshim, Klei Chemd in particular, asks. We'll leave it in the back for now, back of our minds for now. But it never says that you should give the ben. It says, uben ein lo, if there is no son, then you should give it to the daughter. Shouldn't have been more a little more active and say, the ben should first get it, and if there's no ben, then the daughter. Why are we assuming that the ben, it's pashut, the ben gets it? There's no direct commandment that the ben should get it. So the Klei Chemd and others ask this question, we'll get back to that. So first the son gets it, and then if no son, then the daughter gets it. Vim ein lo, if he has no son or daughter, unisatem es, im ein lo bas, unisatem es nachla sol la'achi, then you give it to the mace's brothers. Vim ein lo brothers, he has no brothers, unisatem es nachla sol la'achi aviv, you gave it to his uncle, and there's a whole Seder Nachla, as it's called. This is the Seder Nachla, this is how we follow halacha when it comes to someone dying, who gets Yerusha first. The question, does this Seder Nachla, does this apply to non-Jews? So the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Amar Rava, Davar Torah, Oved Kochavim Yorsha Asav. Din Daraisa, a non-Jew does inherit his father's nechasim. How do we know? Shinem Arvichishav Im Konehu. The Psukim, the end of Chukosai, is talking about if someone gets sold into slavery to a non-Jew, and you have to try to poach to him, redeem him, pay money to get back this Jew. The Gemara says, the pasuk says, "V'chishav im koneo." You have to calculate. You have to negotiate with the non-Jewish owner of the Jewish slave. And the Gemara makes your drasha, "V'chishav im koneo." You negotiate with the owner, the buyer, "V'lo im yorshe koneo." If the owner dies, you don't negotiate with the yorshim, only directly with the koneo himself. But mechlal the isla yorshim. The implication is there are yorshim to talk about. Non-Jews have yorshim. We just don't negotiate with them when it comes to buying back this Jewish slave. But there is Yerusha. Davar Torah, Yesh La Yerusha. The question is, how much Yerusha? Do they have all the dinim of Yerusha? Do they have the entire Seder Nachla of Yerusha that we, Klai Yisrael, have? So the Beis HaBechir, the Meiri there on the Daf Kedushin, says, Hagoy afapi shehu me'ovdei alilim umin ha'munos ha'kdomos shelo hayu gedoros b'darchei hadasas, even though they didn't follow in the ways of the Torah, Harehu b'chla Yerusha shel Torah. Still, nonetheless, they are considered in the general Yerusha of the Torah. V'yorish is Avriv, v'shar Marishav. Not only are the Yorish the father, but all the other Yorishim, the whole Seder Nachla, does apply to Anachim. The Gemara Nivamos, however, in the context of a Bechor, that the Jewish Bechor gets two portions. The Gemara Nivamos, Daf Samach Beis Min Aleph, says Lav the Nachriyoson are Lav Dei Nachla. Non-Jews are not subject to the concept of Nachla. They do not get Bechor. Right? A first child, a firstborn son of a Nachri, will not get double portions. So the Gemara Nivamos says that a Nachri is Lav Bar Nachla. But didn't the Gemara and Kedushin already say they are Bar Nachla? The Davar Torah, Obed Kochav and Yorish is Aviv? So how do we reconcile this contradiction? So Rashi says in Yivamos, Lab Ne Nachlin Inhu, Dibas Kiben, Ubechor Kapashit. Ava Yerusha, Nahogabu, Kedamirim Kedushin. No, they have the concept of Yerusha, but they don't have the Seder Nachla. In other words, while by Klai Yisrael in the Torah's ways of Yerusha, the Ben comes first and then the Bas, if there's no Ben. But in the world of the non-Jews, they have the Ben and the Bas Yorish together. If you have a son and a daughter, they're both going to get equal portions. If you have a firstborn son, he's not getting double portion. They have the same members of the family are going to be Yorish, but there's no order. Everyone gets equal, no Bechor Pashit, no Bechor versus a non-Bechor, and no Ben versus Bas.
Are we assuming like a Jewish court is implementing Yerusha?
How do we recognize this? Let's say they're living in... So let's say Eretz Yisrael, we're living in Eretz Yisrael, and they were living among us, and they were not they're not Jewish, they didn't convert. So how do we recognize, how do we implement those dinim in the Torah? Right, when it comes to the rest of the world, we have no say what goes on, but how do we recognize it? That's an interesting question, I don't know the answer to this. In general, there's a concept of dinim. One of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach are dinim. They have to set up their own court system. Now what's Bechlal dinim? So the Rambam says the dinim, what kind of bezin do they have to set up? In order to implement the six other mitzvahs. The Ramban al Torah, he says, no, dinim means they have to make some judicial system. Anything they want. Like America would be a king, according to Ramban, of a judicial system they set up. Any halachas, any legal documents, any rules they want to make, that's up to them. So I wonder if they're under these dinim, they could create their own dinim of Yerusha, or no, they have to actually keep to our Yerusha, at least the way we view things. But in terms of Lach L'maisa nowadays, it's really not relevant unless we're dealing with Eretz Yisrael of a religious-owned state. And fine. So the Rashi, what comes out from Rashi, is that there is Yerusha by all the members of a family, but there's no Seder Nachla. There is no order, there's no priority of who gets first. Tosos and Yivama says very similar, just one slight difference. He says, Klomer Nachla Bechora. They don't have Nachla Bechora, but they do have Ava Ovid Kacham Yerush Aviv. Tosos did not mention the Ben Kabas connection. He may say, it's possible Tosos says, a Ben, there is Seder Nachla by Anakum. A Ben comes before the daughter. If there's a Ben and a son and a daughter, the son gets, not the daughter. But the son, a firstborn son, will not get double portion. That's the only thing Tosos thinks is excluded. No double portion. Everything else applies to Anakum. While Rashi says, there's even no Seder. There's no Bechor, and there's also no Seder. Ben and Abbas are Yorish together. So those are the first, there are 3 days right now in the Rishonim, how to understand Seder Nachla. Again, the Miri says everything applies to them across the board. Rashi says there's no Seder. And Tosa says there may even still be a Seder, there's just no Bechor. The Rambam, however, in Hilchas Nachla's Perek Vav, Halacha Tes, writes, Ha'akam Yorish is Aviv Davar Torah, very similar to the Lashon of Kedushin. He takes the Gemara very literally. Es Aviv, a person is Yorish's father. Not a brother. Aval shar yorshesin manicha nosa lefi minhagam. But the rest are not included. That goes according to the minhag of however the countries, however these governments set them up. But midiraisa, there is no din of other yorshim, only a father and his or son being yorsh's father, and perhaps a daughter even. But definitely, he limits it much more than the other rishonim.
Rashi doesn't say that if you're yorsh from other people, just when the yorsha is being. Being divided up, it doesn't go to a certain nachla. The Rambam is focusing on when Yerusha is going to apply, and not to whom. Rashi Tosfos says that it's always going to, that no matter who it's coming from, it's the boy is going to get it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it clear then that Miri is saying that there is Seder Nachla?
You're right. So it doesn't have to be that way. You can read the Miri as saying, no, he agrees that, similar to, let's say, Rashi, that everyone, you're right, everyone can. Yes. I agree. It doesn't have to be that way. It's open. I think it's an open question for him. Rav Hanan in the Bava Basra, the main sugyas of Yerusha is found in Negation Oakland in Bava Basra. So in Oshin and Ches, in Bava Basra, he writes as follows. He quotes the Rambam Shita that Ein Yorish Leben Noach Ela Ben, and he writes in parentheses, Ve'efshir to Huadin Bas. He thinks maybe the daughters also. The Rambam says Aviv. So a daughter also has an Aviv, or it's Aveha, Aviha, whatever. So a son and daughter would be able to be Yorish. And he brings a raya for the Rambam against the other Rishonim. He says, when it comes to Avraham Avinu, he says, I have no children, and Ben Mesek, basically, Yorish Osi, and my servant Eliezer, he's going to be Yorish me. But obviously, Eliezer had no relationship to Avraham. He wasn't a Yorish of Avraham. He was a servant. Why was Eliezer Zocha to it? Didn't Avraham have other relatives? Lot? Other people he could have found some Yerusha he was related to? So it must be that the only people who are Yorish by Nachum is the Ben. Since Avram had no Ben, even though he had an uncle, or a nephew, or a cousin, or whatever it was, only a son is Yorish. And since he had no son, it was Hefker. His Nechas would be Hefker, and Eliezer ultimately would have been the first one, naturally, to be Zochet, because he was living with Avram. So that was his claim. That's the Raya that Rav Hanan wants to bring, Shitas Ramam, that only a Ben, and perhaps a Bas, is Yorish as Aviv. There's an interesting Shuvah in Chassam Sofer, in Chelek Beis Yerdeh, Siman Kuf Chav Zayin, regarding this question. I'll just say the case. The case isn't so important, but somehow a non-Jew owed 400 or 800 rather gold coins to a Jew. And the non-Jew died, and non-Jew ended up, his nechasim ended up being sold to another Nachri, and the Nachri gave 50 gold coins to the Jew, and they were still outstanding several hundred gold coins. So then the Nachri gave the Jew a mashkon of an Avodah Zarah, and then so the Jew now had this Avodah Zarah in his possession. So he can't have Avodah Zarah in his possession as a mashkon, so he cut off his finger, so hopefully he was mevatel it. Then eventually at the end he wanted to transfer the idol back to get the money originally. This is a crazy question, and he wanted to know whether it's Khalifa Avodah Zarah. You can't buy, you can't switch, you can't swap money with Avodah Zarah, the money would be Aser Bahana. So this fancy case, so Chassam Sofer said, just, I don't understand the question at all, this whole instance of why the Nechasim was originally sold to a non-Jew and then given over to a Jew, the Nechasim should have stayed to the Yorshim. Why didn't the Mesa's Yorshim get it? Also, maybe you're going to tell me that Yorshim, he had no son, but he says, Lav Dafka Levanov, not only do children get Yorshim, Ela Kol Yorshim, the entire family, any relative of a non-Jew, would be a Yorish, and it never should have been sold in the first place. So the whole question of Avodah Zarah was never an issue, and you see the Chassam Sofer Paskins, like the Meiri, Rashi, and Tosos, that all the Yorshim, against the Rambam, all the Yorshim are Bechlal Yerusha. The Minchas Chinuch, in Mitzvah Tav, he writes, Gam kein de Yerushas Aviv, d'hu min haTorah, lav dafka ben, ela bas. He said, not only a son, but even a daughter. Just like the Rav Hanan wanted to say in the parentheses, I pointed out, when the Rambam says, if ben, he also means bas. That b'mokam bas, yoreshes b'shove, the son and a daughter are going to be yoresh together. So we basically have a few shitas of how Yerushas Akam works. We started off with the pasuk in this week's parsha. It seemed that Leah and Rachel would have been roi for Chelek v'Nachla, they would have been roi for Yerusha had Lavan not cut them off. And what? How do we understand generally Yerusha? So either could be the entire Seder Nachla applies to all them. Maybe there's no Seder Nachla, every member of the family can be Yorish, but there's no order. Or maybe only a son and daughter, but no other Yorishim. So what exactly is behind this Machlokas? Why would the Rambam say only a son would be Bichlal, Yerusha, and no other relatives? I understand, if you're going to say Yerusha, so the whole parsha of Yerusha in Pinchas quotes a son and a daughter and an uncle and a brother. So once you're including Yerusha, the whole Yerusha, why is Rama being mechalik, the dafka, a son, and maybe a bas, but no other Yerusha? So now we have to discuss the general concept of Yerusha's haben. Yerusha's haben, the sugya, comes up all over the place. It's not a big sugya in one local area, but many times you're going to see these issues discussed. And the question we're going to navigate through is Yerusha's haben like any other Yorish? just like a daughter and a brother and uncle are Yorish. A son also is, but he's just the first one in line. Or perhaps it's something more fundamental. There's something about the relationship between a son and a father that makes the Yushas of Ben much more different. So the Gemara in Erev and Daf Ayin Amun Beis talks about a father setting up an Erev before Shabbos, and the father dies. And they want to know if the son could afterwards come and be mevatel this Erev. We forget the details, but the terminology is most important. We'll just read through it. If a person who's able to do an Erev from yesterday before Shabbos is able to be mevatel an Erev, he can make an Erev, he can be mevatel it. So since the father yesterday, who's dead now, but since the father was able to make an Erev yesterday, he can be mevatel, but this son came at the boy le'erum esmo, he couldn't have done it yesterday while his father was still alive, he couldn't do it, whatever reason, lo matzim ariv, lo matzim mevatel, he can't make an Erev, he can't be mevatel it. O dilma yoresh kar de avuahu. He is somehow like a leg, he's an offshoot, he is part of a father. So even though the father died and the son himself wasn't able to do it yesterday, he's a continuation, he's a living part of the father. And this key line, many Mefarshim quote as the, not only is he being Yorish from his father, but he's actually as if the father is still alive, if you will. And he's continuing, he's a part of, it's almost like, what? I would say more than Shlichas even. Shlichas could be an approach, I'm not sure if anybody says that, but really it's a representation of the father more than Shlichas, as if the father might even be there. And we'll see even stronger languages in the Rishonim. So the Baal Maor, in Baba Basra, and right in the beginning of Yesh Nochlin, he says as follows, Roa es haben ki'ilu ochiv kayim. I think it should be Oviv, I think it's a mistake in Bar Ilan, but I forgot to look up the Baal Maor itself. But you view the son as if the father is still alive. Lefikach Yaakov kodem la'avram. Yaakov comes before Avram. If Yitzchak dies, benichsa Yitzchak, sharei Yaakov anurom es Yitzchak ki'ilu hukayim. When Yitzchak dies, Avram, the father of Yitzchak, doesn't get the Yerusha. The son Yaakov does. Because when Yaakov, the son, carries on the Yerusha, it's as if Yitzchak is still alive. So that's this. We're going to see in several places now this idea. Rashi and Horios, we just did recently in Daf Yomi, Daf Vavam and Aleph, talking about different karbanos, and the father dies. They bring a pasuk in Tehillim, Tachas avosecha yihu banecha. Under replacing the fathers will be the sons. And Rashi, they write, Demashma debanim b'makom avos kaimin. The son stand in the place of the fathers, because avos chaim dami. Again, the same lashon as if the father is still alive. V'hoch ikifan. The Rashbam also, which they didn't have in Bar Ilan, in Kuf Mem Alpha and Beis, also says this in Baba Basra. Rav Yosef Engel in Gilyon Eshas in Baba Basra Kuf Tazayin brings a few other interesting agaritas throughout Shas that seem to point in the same direction. First points out the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. Tanali Rav Tanchum Demin Parud. They're dealing with the question of Hamafkid Yeno Etel Ovid Kochavim. If I gave a mafkid, I gave an akum to watch my wine. Are you allowed? Is that wine Yai Nesach or not? So they say Mutter B'Shtia. Rav Tanchum comes along and says it's Mutter. You're allowed to drink it. It's not Yai Nesach. Kari Allah, they called it, they refer to him as Mokum Shipo Ha'et Sham Yehu. They refer to Tanchum as the place where the tree falls, that's where they will be. Sham Yehu Sakadaika? If the tree falls, if the tree dies, that's where it's going to be. It's dead, it's nothing alive. Ela Sham Yehu Peirosov. That's where the fruit will be. So if it's the fruit, if the tree falls and the fruit will grow from the tree and the seeds fall, the fruit's eventually growing, but the tree itself is dead, why was the Pasuk calling it Sham Yehu? That's where the tree will be. Rav Yosef Engel points out, wherever the fruit are, the tree is still alive. Wherever the children are, the father is still alive. And that's what the Gemara, this drush in Koheles, is referring to. Different Gemara, in Tanya's Daf Testament Aleph, I know Ari likes Tanya's very much, so well-known Gemara about the Shlosha Parnasim. There are three members of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar who the Nisim happened on their behalf. Elu Hain, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And there are three gifts given on their behalf: the air, Anan, and Man, the well, the clouds, and the Man. The air came b'zuchus Miriam, the Anan came b'zuchus Aaron, and the Man was b'zuchus Moshe. Mace and Miriam. When Miriam died, Nistalik haBe'er, the bear left, and the pasuk brings rise by Thomas Shem Miriam. Miriam died, and afterwards it says v'lo hayu ma'im le'eda. There's no water. What happened to the water? Miriam died. The bear left. But then the bear came back in the zechus of the living Moshe and Aaron. Mace Aaron died, Nistalik on Yaakov. Vayishma Kanani Melch Arad. They heard what? They hear Mashmua Shama. Shama Shemes Aaron Nistalku Anani Akava. They heard that Aaron died, that Anani Akava left, and maybe they thought they could come attack Bnei Israel. Kusavar Nitin Lav Shushal Hilachim Israel. Fine. Hainu Dechsid Vayiru Kalaida Kigava Aaron. This is what it meant, but the whole Ada was scared because Aaron died. They lost the protection of the Anani Akava. Amr Be'avohu Atiku Vayiru El Vayiru Kidarish Vishlakish. Fine. And finally, Chazu Shneim Bizchus Moshe. Then Moshe had the zechus to bring back the Be'er and the Anon. Meis Moshe, Nistalku Kulam. They all left. All three Matanos left. Ve'echad Eshloshes Haram B'yorich Echad. All three shepherds lost in 1 month. V'chib Yorich Echad Mesu. In 1 month did they die? Miriam died in Nisan. Aaron died in Av. Moshe died in Adar. El Shin Spatlu Shlosh Matanos Tovas Shenadun Al Yadon. Three of the gifts left. But the Yosef Engel says, but the Pasuk says, Shloshes Reim left, the three Reim, the three shepherds, not the three gifts. So he says, here too also, as long as the Matana that was on their behalf, their peros, their fruit, their children, if you will, was still around, we viewed it as if they were still alive. So even though the Anani Akava left, we viewed it as if Aaron was still alive. As long as the bear was still around, we viewed it as if Miriam was still alive. It was when Moshe died and all three Matanos, all three Peros left, that's when we really, it was really assumed that all three Roim, all three leaders died in 1 month. Gemara and Tainus, Daf Hem and Beis, Rav Nachman and Yitzhak were sitting in a Suda. Rav Nachman says to Rav Yitzhak, tell me something. He said, I learned you're not supposed to speak while you're eating. It's a sakana. After they finished eating, Rav Yochanan said as follows, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Yaakov didn't die. What do you mean he didn't die? Wasn't there a hesped? Didn't they bury him? So they answer the question, fine. If Yosef Engel points out here, what does it mean that he didn't die? How can you think Yaakov? Of course Yaakov Avinu died. He's not around anymore. The point was, he had Yud Beis Shvatim, he had Klai Yisrael to follow. And as long as your children follow in the ways of the father, we view it as if the father never died. That's what I mean. Yaakov didn't die because he had 12 Shvatim, 12 children that all walked in the ways of Hashem. The Rambam in Hilchos Truma's Perek Vav Halach Yotes, in the terms of Truma, he writes, Bas Yisrael, Shenisesh L'Yisrael, Tchila, the Bas Yisrael married Yisrael, V'yesh La Mimena Ben, and she had a child, V'chozor V'nisesh L'Kohen, and then she goes ahead to marry a Kohen, Ocha B'Truma. She married a Kohen, she could eat Truma, even though she has a child who's not a Kohen, since she married a Kohen, she could eat Truma. Mace, V'lo Mimena Ben, and if the Kohen dies and she has a son from this Kohen, Ocheles, Mipnei Buna. She could eat because of her Kohen's son, Ha'achron, Sherei Hihu Machila Kemoshe Achila Aviv. This son, this Kohen's son who's still alive, feeds his mother just like his own father fed his wife. What's the connection of Buna and the Aviv? The Yamcha Shlomo points out here, Mishum Dechashivina Laki Iluhi Adain Bishusa Kohen, Sherei Ben Omed B'makom Ha'av. So again, since the son stands in the place of the father in terms of Yerusha, in terms of all these other dinim, we view it as if the father is still alive, as if the father is still feeding the wife, Truma. So we're seeing all these Gemaras, all these different Rayas. Now it goes beyond Yerusha. Not only Yerusha do we view the son as standing in the place of the father. We just brought a case by Truma. But in Shmos Parakaf Aleph talks about by Yud. Talks about Yud of the Gemara in Kedushin. You have Amar Ria. The father is able to marry an Amar Ria. And if the father doesn't want to marry this Amariah, then his son can marry. And the Gemara says, why is the son allowed to marry? Only the son, no other relative? Because again, the same concept of the Ben is Omid B'Makom Aviv, the son stands in the place of the father. And then yet there's another Gemara in Eruchin, Daf Chaf Hamer Beis, that talks about being Gol, Asada, if you're Maktish, Asada, and if you're Poda, Hektish, you have to, only the person himself is allowed to redeem it, and the Gemara says not only the person, not only the father, but also his sons included. And there are a ton of other Gemaras, other mitzvahs and halachas that we really view the father as the son as a continuation of the father. So this goes back to help us explain the Shitas Rambam again by Yerusha's Nachri. Why does the Rambam limit Yerusha's Nachri only to a ben? Because the Rambam perhaps is like all these riots we just brought. Yerusha's ben is not normal, typical Yerusha of just mamon. It's Yerusha's Ben, it's Ki'il Ha'av Chaim, it's this relationship, a continuation of a legacy of the father, and that's unique only to a son. And for whatever reason, that concept of this legacy applies to the Nachri. The general concept of Yerusha, Seyed Nachlo, that doesn't go along to the non-Jews. And this also answers the question we start off in the beginning with the pasuk. Why is a pasuk in Parshas Pinchas by Seder Nachla say, "Uven ein lo"? If you have no son, fa'avartim es nachlas levito, then you give it to the daughter. The Torah should have first said you should give it to your son, and then if there's no son. Because the Klei Chemda writes, the son, it's pashut that the son gets it. You don't have to say it. The son is a continuation of the father. It's obvious that he gets it. There's no need to make a direct commandment of that.
With, in the case of Truma, he has, it's the exclusion of if he has any daughters, right? She, if he has daughters, could she eat Truma?
I think so. I don't remember. The Gemara Kedushin talks about I ain't lo. They look into
right.
It. So I forget if the Bas is included. Do you remember? You did it recently?
It says grandchildren.
Right. So I know grandchildren. If you have a grandson, that works. I think Bas also, but I don't remember. So if that's the case, so then you could, maybe that's why Bas might be included also.
Right.
Bas also might be considered continuing the legacy. Right. So now we've expanded this understanding of Yerusha's ben to not only in the concept in the area of halacha of Yerusha, but to other things like Truma and Erechin and Yid. So now we could discuss about Rabbanus and other posts that a father might hold, a melech, a kohen gadol. Does a melech's son, is he the first, should he be the natural person to be Yorish Malchus? Should it be Yorish the kohen gadola? So the Chassam Sofer in several Tshuvas, he keeps going back and forth. He quotes the following Medrash in the bottom of page 3. Medrash says as follows: Kol mishim vakish tzarchei tzibor gilu ba'bezera. Anybody who seeks out he wants to do the needs of the tzibor, as if he took it on the force. Right, we can leave that point aside now. Ma ro levakish tzarcha ze achar seder nachlas. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was seeking out who's going to continue his job as king, as leader of Bnei Yisrael? Why right now did he start thinking, now's the time, right after Seder Nachlas, right after B'nos Slavchot, why now was he thinking about it? El Kevin Shiyardu B'nos Slavchot Esavian. Amar Moshe Harei Sha'ashe Esba'at Tzarchi. Now it's time, I see B'nos Slavchot is trying to figure out what they're, you know, who's going to get the Nechasm of their father. Maybe I should start thinking who to follow after me. Ima B'nos Yorshu's Kavod Avian. If the B'nos Slavchot are being Yorish, the father's Kavod, Din Hu Shiyarshu B'ni. Eskodi, my son should also carry on my kavod. Amalei Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, no tateina yochapiri apasuk, but necha yashvu lehem v'lo ashku b'Torah. Your children weren't osik in Torah so much. Question: how were they really not osik in Torah? Were they rishayim? Were they? But Yeshua sheshimashcha din hu sheishamish as Yisrael she'enu mavet eschar. Yeshua, who served you, who served Klal Yisrael, he should be the new leader. The Chassam Sofer says you see a riot from the Gemara. That there's not a Yerusha. Rabbanus, Melech, Malchus, Kohen Gadol, these things, there's not a Yerusha. It's a person who's most fit, namely Yeshua in this case.
And it seems like the Tavim that should be there was your sons, but since your sons weren't so good, then it was Yeshua.
Exactly. So you have to figure out, were sons really not good? Were they good, but Yeshua's better? If it's Yeshua's better, so if the son's the best person, so the son should get it anyways. I mean, if it's about who's the best person, so whoever's the best person, who cares if you're a son or not a son? But why is he claiming his son should get it? They're probably okay
adequate
people. But as long as they're adequate to the role, they should be the first ones to get it. He says, no, we don't go about that. It's the best person. Whether it's your son, whether it's Yeshua, we go by the best person. There's no concept of Yeshua. If they're equal, then the only option going to be if they're equal. If Yeshua and his sons were equal, then maybe his son should get it first.
It says below Oscar Victoria, it seems like they weren't so good.
So if they...
Since they weren't so good, perhaps that's why we're replacing them. Perhaps if they were adequate...
If they're adequate, maybe they would have been good. So again, it's hard to say Moshe Rabbeinu's sons were not adequate, but maybe you can. You have to look them afar and see how they view the sons of Moshe. So okay, you could reject it that way. I mean, many Achronim do argue with the Chassam Sofer. I don't know how they address this Medrash, but they say, no, it is Yerusha. Fine.
To respond to that, like... By Yerusha's Ben, we don't say that if the son doesn't learn Torah, he still doesn't come first.
No, but that's not about leadership. This is a position of leadership. It's very different. Where in the Yerusha's Ben, that's all mamam.
We've established that this is the Yerusha's Ben, but this is all about it.
So that's one question we have to deal with. Is there any concept of Yerusha when it comes to Rabbanus and stuff and Malch? Is there a concept of Yerusha or not? If there's no Yerusha, is there what to talk about? Let's say Malch is not Yerusha, the best person. So what's the question we're dealing with here? So let's go back. Let's backtrack for a second. Yerusha's a ben. That we've expanded to Truma and Truma and Yid, all these things. That L'chor does not go through the mechanism of Yerusha. That's a concept of Ab Makom HaBen. So now we're raising the question, Klei Chanda says, that Rabbanus also, once we expanded it to Truma, so that's expanded also to Malchus. So some say that's only a case where they're adequate. So now what was your question now? Fine, we're good.
What about like all the psukim in like the Nevi'im about, you know, when Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Shaul, like, your son isn't going to be the next king, and Shaul says to Yehonatan that you shouldn't be friends with David because he's trying to take away your kingship. So it sounds like that there is a that at least the Havim, you know, of Shaul and of Kadosh Baruch Hu himself is that, you know,
right,
it should go to your son, but it's not.
So we'll see in a second the Rambam holds Malchus is Yerusha. And the question, now that question is, was Moshe a melech or not? If Moshe was melech and he's passing on, so maybe it's a discussion, but he could have been a leader, not a melech. He could be
considered
a shofet. They're different, I think the Rambam refers to him as a melech in several places. It's a discussion what exactly role he played, what title he had, if any. But he had some leadership role, and was that leadership role, was it really something to be passed on? So the Rambam, in Hilchos Malchim, writes by Malchus, he says, "Kishemamitim haMelech Moshe Kanosa b'Shem Mishka." When you appoint the king, you have to anoint him. Shneimar vayikach Shmuel as pach Hashem and vayitzok al roshav yishakeu. Miachash Moshe Kan haMelech hareza zochlo levonav ad olam. And once you anoint the king, his children and generations to come are all the zochin that Malchus. Shah Malchus Yerusha. Shneimar leman yarich yomim mamlechto hu vonav bekerav Yisrael. Malchus is Yerusha, and you do pass it on to your children. Seems to be against this medrash. The Rambam Hilchos Klei Mikdash by Kohen Gadol, he writes, V'chol kodim l'nachala, kodim l'sraris hames. Just like by Kohen Gadol, we first look to the children to see if any of the children are fit. So too, by any other srara, we look to the ben, the yorshim of the mace, to see if they fit. So it seems to the Rambam, we actually do go by Yerusha, we do go by the yorshim when it comes to srara and Malchus.
By Kunas, if he's actually fit to have that role.
Right, well, has to be fit. Right. If he can't be fit, then there's nothing to talk about. But it's Yerusha, first and foremost, the children in Yerushim should have first dibs.
So why can't you just connect it to the Medrash where,
his son's... Like was saying, that they weren't Roy to be.
Yeah.
For me, that might be a response. I think people question, were they really not Roy? Were they really not adequate?
Is there something between Moshe's role as leader and Melech's role?
Yeah, that's a discussion. Again, the Rambam, I think, calls Moshe a Melech, and you look at the Frankel, there's like a ton of marmakomos on that, whether he was a king or not, and many Achronim talk about that. So if it's Melech, so then you could compare these two Midrashim. If Moshe was not a Melech, it's an entirely different role, it might not be a steer to the Rambam. Yerusha, Malchus is a Yerusha, but whatever Moshe was isn't a Yerusha.
Right.
The Ramah in Hilchos in Yeradeya, Hilchos Talmud Torah, says, "Ein lahorida migdulaso afa pishabal l'shem achar gadol mimenu." If someone's a rav, you can't take him out of his post, even if someone greater comes to that city. Afil beno ben beno li olam kodmin la'acherim. His sons, his grandsons, always come first when it comes to taking over a pulpit. So you see, extends it not only in Malchus, not only Kohen Gadol, but even to Rabbanus. The Ramon Orachai in Hilchos Birchas Hashachar says the same thing when it comes to Chazan. When it comes to Chazan, Shliach Sibor Shehizkin, he gets old. Rotsa Limnos Beno Lisayel Prokim, Alpishain Kol Bena Arif Kikolo, even though the son's voice isn't as good, Imimali Makoma Beshar Dvarm, if he fits the criteria for other dinim, Beno Kodum Lchaldam, Venat Sibor Yechol Limchos Biyado, also by Shliach Sibor Echazim, a ben comes first also. So we see a few halachas here where we actually do have Yerusha when it comes to Srara, Rabbanus, and I guess Chazim. The Mogan Ram, however, in Simon and Gimel, quotes that the chol haminuyim shem kesser Torah ain b'neim kodman. You're right. It comes in terms of general leadership roles. There is Yerusha. When it comes to kesser Torah, when it comes to being giving a shir, a shiva, there's no such thing as Yerusha. Kesser Torah, you have to claim on your own. You don't pass it on. That's not a Yerusha. I just want to give some. This topic is a large topic. It requires much more time. We only have like 4 minutes left here. So these are just some, I guess, backgrounds to look into things. I'll just say one more issue that comes up when it comes to general Yerusha of Malchus and Rabbanus it happens oftentimes in as the Hasidus or Rebbeim, who's going to be Yorish, is the son, is the son-in-law, all those types of concepts. What happens when there is a machlokas? So if there's a machlokas involved, is there a split, right? Bava, I think, had a split, one of these places. So the Gemara in Kresus, Daf Hamad Beis, says, Ein Moshech Melech Ben Melech. You don't have to anoint a son, a king, who's a son of a king. Because he already was, his father was anointed, and that just carries through. So how do you know this? Minolan, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Leman Yarich Yomim Al Mamlachta Hu Vanav. It's a pasuk in Dvarim that you have Yerusha. Mipnei Ma Mashkel Shlomo, but Shlomo was anointed. Why was he anointed? His father was the king. Mipnei Machlokes Adonayo. There's a Machlokes who is going to be the king. So therefore, you needed a Mashiach. You needed to do to anoint this new king. Rashi says, Hay Malchut Yerusha. Generally, it's a Yerusha of Lo Bay Mashiach. About Ki Ika Machlokes Lav Yerusha. When there's a Machlokes, the Yerusha is battle. There's no longer a Yerusha, and whoever gets decided to be king has to be anointed again. So when it comes to Machlokes and who's going to be the next Rebbe, it seems like there's no Yerusha anymore, and everybody really has a fair stake at the kingship. Avni Nezer quotes this. There's a long, famous Avni Nezer in Shin Yud Beis who discusses the general concept. He comes out against the Chassam Sofer. He thinks that Rabbanus is Yerusha. He quotes his Rashi. But the Rav Asher Weiss says it's not so clear that when there's a Machlokes that the Yerusha is really batal. The Rambam says also, he quotes the Gemara in Kresus that you do need a Mashiach when there's a Machlokes by the new king, even though the king is the son of another king, even though Shlomo was the king, the son of David. Why do you need a Mashiach? Not because the Yerusha is batal, but because the Machlokes. Just to deal with to publicize the fact. There's no real inherent reason of the Mashiach. It's really to publicize the fact. So now just finally to finish up, in the original Medrash we brought up that Yeshua was Yorish, the Malchus from Moshe, and not his sons. So isn't that a great raya? Chassam Sofer says it's a great raya, but there's no Yerusha when it comes to the Malchus and all those types of dinim. The great Rashi in Perek Lamed and Dvarim in Parshas Vayelech, I think it is, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, after I die, that's when destruction is going to happen in Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says, "Barei kol yimei Yeshua lo shchisu." It wasn't after you died. After you died, everything was great. While Yeshua was living, everything was still great. Shenemar, how do you know things were great? V'avdu b'nei Yisrael, Hashem kol yimei Yeshua. The entire life of Yeshua, they were doing the great things. So mikan shetalmido she'odom choviv lov kegufo. A person's student is choviv as himself. Shekolz man sheYeshua chai near the Moshe ki'iluhu chai. Whenever Yeshua was alive, it was as if Moshe Rabbeinu was alive himself. And based on, as we know, Talmidim or Kibbonim are really like children. So when Yeshua was appointed king, it wasn't that we're saying Yerusha Torah wasn't Yerusha. Yeshua was a ben of, he was one of the children of Moshe Rabbeinu. This passage, the Rashi tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu said, viewed it as if he was still alive in the times of Yeshua. So really, it's a raya that children are able to yorish your Malchus. It's, I don't think it's against it.
It says your sons aren't going to work, so therefore Yeshua.
So the question, what the response is the response say, oh, and Yeshua is actually considered a son of yours? What? I think the response is unclear. It says Yeshua is going to. Is that to say Yeshua is not a son? Or no, the chiddush is Yeshua is actually considered a son of yours.